time we sing that song, I want you to stand up and give that lady's testimony that wrote that song. So most of you all heard it, so I'm not going to do it tonight. But it fits right in with what I'm going to preach about this evening. It's about the Faith Hall of Fame. The Faith Hall of Fame. And you know, we talk about technology and different things, and I love using technology, but it seems like technology fails me on occasion, or maybe I fail technology on occasion. And I guess I should turn on this. There. There. I'm probably loud enough without that. I figured I'd get at least a couple of amens on that. Well, anyway, back to technology, and there we go. I downloaded my sermon tonight. I preached this sermon, I think, the first time in 2015, and I had it on my computer, so I saved it to the program that I use for my laptop and my phone and those things like that, and I forgot to refresh my pad, and we don't have Wi-Fi here, or at least good enough that we'll pick it up. So I started using my pad, and my sermon wasn't there. So I've got my phone, and the sermon's there because it automatically refreshes, and so at home it refreshed just fine. I got my sermon here, and I looked down and I got 15% on my battery. So Andy said, "You're going to have to start learning to plug that in." And I said, "Well, I preached this before, so I think I'll be okay." Oh boy. See, technology. let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you that we can smile and laugh and joke because we know that we're created in your image, and I believe that you are happy and that you smile and that that you love us just the way we are.
Yes.
Flawed, and we're going to talk about some flawed people tonight, some flawed people that are in your Faith Hall of Fame. You don't pick out those that are perfect because none of us are. But you use us right where we are in our life, where we are in our walk with you. And so, Father, I just pray that you'd help me get out of the way, that you would speak through me tonight, and that your word would have something that somebody in here needs to hear tonight that would encourage them and help them in their walk. We pray this in the holy and precious name of Jesus, and everybody said,
Amen. Amen.
What do you think of when you hear Hall of Fame? You think of somebody famous, don't you? In baseball, you think of maybe Babe Ruth or Willie Mays or somebody that is very, very good. And you can go down through all the different sports Hall of Fames. You think about the Walk of Fame in Hollywood, the stars and things like that. And, you know, the people that have the lower parts don't normally get one of those stars on the Walk of Fame. It's normally the big celebrities and the well-known that is in the Hall of Fame. But I'm going to tell you that in the Faith Hall of Fame, you don't have to be a star. You don't have to be the big name. You don't have to be the A-lister. God will use you right where you are, just as He did about the people that we're going to talk about. Most of you know I do ring announcing at the local wrestling promotion. And every once in a while, we'll have somebody that's a big name come in. And I love it as an announcer because I can get really fired up. Introducing from New York, he's a WWE Hall of Famer. He's an NWA Hall of Famer. He is the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. And everybody just goes nuts. And we've got a guy that is from a local area here. I think he's from Martinsville, but he says he's from Indy. Yeah, that happens in wrestling, you know. But He's an Indiana Wrestling Hall of Famer. And I can get into that. He's an Indiana Wrestling Hall of Famer. Give it up for Flash Flanagan. And everybody is excited. But I want to put your name in there. If you've heard me preach on John 3:16, for God so loved the world, but you know what I do, right? Somebody tell me what I put in there.
Your name.
Good job. Not my name?
Yeah.
Oh, you know the joke with that. For those that don't know that, I used to, at another church, have kids come up and I'd teach and I'd be sitting here on the stage like this. And I told them about, for God so loved, and I want you to put your name in there. So I would say, for God so loved Pastor Ed. Okay, now let's try. And so all the little kids in unison said, for God so loved
Pastor Ed.
They were supposed to put their names in, but I felt really good that they all believed that God loved me, because maybe they thought, man, he's, I don't know about that. God must have a good, stretch there. But listen to this. How about some baseball trivia? I love baseball. It's almost spring training time, and this coming week and next week. Who is Clint Courtney? And it gets quiet because nobody. Rob, who's Clint Courtney? You never heard of him, have you? Kevin? Clint Courtney? You don't know him. I know you don't know him.
I've heard the name.
If you're unsure of who Clint Courtney is, don't bother requesting the answer from Cooperstown, New York, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. They're not going to give you that information. If an employee was there, they'd probably have to go Google it. Now, see, a few years ago, I'd never use that, Google. But in today's society, they'd go Google it, and maybe he would pop up. Clint never came close to making it to the Baseball Hall of Fame. In fact, it's very doubtful that in his picture, and when it appeared on the bubblegum cards, and I know Kevin knows about the bubblegum cards. He told us about that yesterday. This guy wasn't a legend in his own time, or maybe even in his own mind. He was just a slight memory. He was only a memory maker for his family and a few diehard fans who were inspired by his tremendous fortitude. Clint played catcher for the Baltimore Orioles in the 1950s. During his career, he earned the nickname Scrap Iron. And there's been people through the years that have taken that nickname, Scrap Iron. That kind of means that you do whatever it takes. You know, you get beat up and you dive and you do all kinds of things and you give yourself up for the team. During his career, he earned the name Scrap Iron, implying that he was hard and weathered and tough. Old Scrap broke no records, only bones. He had little power or speed on the base paths. As for grace and style, he made the easiest play look rather difficult. It's supposed to be the other way around. You make the easy play look easy, you make the hard play look easy. That's what Rob used to do at shortstop. I played against him, I know. He'd get down and he'd catch, and the ball would hit him in the shin. He'd get foul tips and it hit his elbows. And runners freely plowed into him. That was back in the day where men were men and you could run into people and not get thrown out of the game. They put their spikes up as he defended home plate, though often doubled over in agony and flattened in a heap of dust. Clint Courtney never quit. Invariably, he'd slowly get up, shake off the dust, punch the pocket of his mitt once or twice, and nod to his pitcher to throw another. He never gave up. The game would go on and continue. He resembled a POW with tape and braces and all kinds of paraphernalia that wounded people wear. Some made fun of him, calling him a masochist, insane. Others remember him as a true champion. You see, you don't have to be in the Hall of Fame in New York for your family to remember you. And you know what? I bet he was a great role model for young people that really knew him. He didn't give up. He didn't say, well, I don't have a $1 million contract. Nobody did in 1950. But I don't have a $1 million contract. And so I'm just going to give it half an effort. You know, scrap iron type people, they have to give everything they've got just to stay ahead. And that's what Clint Courtney did. We're going to read the Faith Hall of Fame. That's in Hebrews chapter 11. And you know, when you say Hebrews, I always think of the joke that said, you know, the Bible says that the men are supposed to make the coffee, right? Did you know that? Because Hebrews. Yeah. And so, there you go. She's never heard that. I can tell the way she smiled and laughed. There you go. See, if one person gets something out of this, it's something. It's good. This is rather long. I may break it up. We'll see how the flow goes here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch. There you go. That's Ted's favorite character in the Bible, Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, remember we're in the Hall of Fame now, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation, under whose builder and maker is God. You notice here that I'm giving you the positive through what the Word says. Yeah. These people, this is the good stuff.
Yes.
But we're going to get to the bad stuff that led to the good stuff. We're going to get to where these Hall of Famers, they didn't start in the major leagues. They started way down here. They had a past that they had to get overcome. But God used them in a mighty way. They're in the Faith Hall of Fame. And so God can use you. And I know, and I've heard recently of people who look at themselves and maybe even refer to themselves as something that isn't as complimentary as what they ought to do. I was an elder in a church way back when, before I was ever a pastor. And it was, yeah, this is all yucky stuff to me. You know, church board meetings, elders meetings, budget meetings. Man, that just doesn't even sound like church, does it? But we were in a budget meeting, and this church right across the street was several apartment complexes. And not only that, there was plans that were in the coming year, they were going to build several more apartment complexes right within walking distance of this church. And I said during this budget meeting, we ought to put some extra money in the budget for community outreach. We got to go and we got to reach the people of this community. And one of the old elders, one of the guys that would have said something like this, well, 50 years ago we did this and it worked then and it'll work now. We don't have to put money into this. We live in a different society than 50 years ago.
Yeah.
We got to go to them. You know, it's not like where families all follow the leader of the family. You know, we don't see two and three generations here a whole lot. We've got a couple families that's two or three generations. But we got to do things different. And his old line of "we did it 50 years ago" just didn't cut the mustard. And he said, we tried reaching out, get this, to those people. Those people, like they were something lesser than him. We tried reaching out to those people, and when they came over here, they tore our church up. Well, let's cast them straight to hell. They messed something up in the church. That's the unforgivable sin, isn't it? No, it's not the unforgivable sin. And so, don't refer to yourself as anything less than a child of God. Don't refer to yourself as what you were in the past. Refer to yourself as what God has made you right now and what God is going to make you in the future. Rob preached a wonderful sermon this morning that we all have a position that we have to play. You've got a position, and I've got a position. I told him, in reference to what he was going to preach this morning, if you're a basketball fan, you remember a guy named Michael Jordan? Yeah, he was pretty good. Some people say he's the greatest of all time. But you realize that Michael Jordan scored tons of points early in his career, but he never won a championship early in his career. He didn't have the team around him, but they got Scottie Pippen. They got Dennis Rodman. They got Horace Grant. They got three or four other players. And guess what? Michael Jordan didn't have to do it all himself because he had a team around him then. Guess what? Six championship rings, I think.
Yeah.
Six. But not until he got the team around him. You see, Rob can do all kinds of things, but he can't do it all. He's got to get people around him that are on fire for the Lord, that want something more than just to sit in the pew and for listening to his sermons on Sunday. Yeah. You see, Monday through Saturday, we've all got to be out in the community, and our light has to shine.
Good, Ed.
These people in the Faith Hall of Fame came from various backgrounds. We come from various backgrounds. We have different jobs that we do. And you know what? Some of them sound a little bit better than others. But you know what? In the military, if you didn't have the grunts, it wouldn't matter what the officer said. You get that? It wouldn't matter that the officers have the best game plan. At D-Day, Dwight Eisenhower had a great plan. We're going to invade Normandy. We're going to march all the way to, I started to say to Moscow, but all the way to, help me here, the capital of Germany during World War II. Berlin. Thank you. We're going to march all the way to Berlin. You know, sometimes when you're up here, it just doesn't come out like you want it to.
Amen. Yeah.
You're going to march all the way to Berlin, and we're going to take the Nazis, the biggest war machine of all time. He had a great plan, but you know what? When they rush those beaches at Normandy, those grunts come off of those ships, those landing ships, and lots of them gave their life. If you ever watch Saving Private Ryan, it's so dramatic at the beginning. There's blood all through the water. People died left and right. The grunts were what made it happen, because as people were dying, other people were pushing forward. And more people died, and those first people pushed a little bit farther forward. And eventually, they took the beaches. They stormed the beaches. They lost a lot of people, but they won the battle. They continued to march through France, and they crossed into Germany. And Hitler, eventually, not wanting to be captured, committed suicide. Supposedly the greatest military mind in the world at that time. And he was overtaken by a bunch of grunts that was down in the trenches fighting the battles of the great master plan that Dwight Eisenhower and his generals made. But it wouldn't matter how great that master plan was if he didn't have people to implement it. In the military, you know that the best leaders are the non-commissioned officers. NCOs. Who said that?
I did.
You did. That means she knows what she's talking about. Because officers up here, they don't live in the same world. They may have went to college and learned in books how you do all kind of stuff, but the non-commissioned officers, they've been a grunt. And they moved their way up. I had an officer one time tell me we were doing field maneuvers. And he said, we had come in, me and my partner, to get some rest because it was hard to get rest with a two-man crew. Somebody had to be up all the time. And so we came into the home area to get some rest. And this lieutenant, he was a first lieutenant, but he had changed jobs. So he was just like a newbie. And he said, Sergeant Boston, I need you to get three or four men, grab a shovel, and go dig a foxhole. And I looked at him and said, sir, why are we digging a foxhole? Sergeant Boston, I told you to get two or three men and go over and dig that foxhole. Sir, you do realize that if this was a real war and not just war games, that we would have infantry support for our protection. They'd dig all the foxholes. They would protect us so that we could do our jobs. Military intelligence, you know, one of those things that is like an oxymoron. Military intelligence, that's what I did. I was an oxymoron. Not a moron. Well, depends on who you ask, again. But he said, Sergeant Boston, I told you to go dig a foxhole. I said, sir, are you doing this because Captain Mulch is going to come and inspect our home base area? I said, because if you are, I guarantee you that Captain Mulch doesn't give a rip about foxholes. This is the only sentence he knew. Sergeant Boston, I told you to get four men, go over here and dig a foxhole. And that's what I want you to do. And so I gave up. Yes, sir, we're going to go dig a foxhole. You three come with me. We go over. I said, turn over a couple spades full of dirt. Captain Mulch will be here by then. And we won't be digging a foxhole very long. Sure enough, up comes Captain Mulch in his Jeep with the driver. And he doesn't stop where the lieutenant is. He drives straight over to me. Sergeant Boston, what in the world are you doing digging a foxhole? Lieutenant Groh said we had to. He said, I'm going to get... See, he knew what... He'd been through the lieutenant phase. He was moving up and he knew what... He said, I bet you and your partner came in here to get some rest, didn't you? Yes, sir. Put those shovels down, go into the tent, and get you some rest, and I'll take care of Lieutenant Groh. He goes over, he rips Lieutenant Groh a new one. I'm going to guess that Lieutenant Groh never, ever told anybody to dig a foxhole ever again. But you see what I'm saying? You had to have the grunts, and the NCOs had been through the grunts, and so they're your leaders. They're the one that are telling people what they need to do, and they're doing it because they have experience, not because they read it out of a book. Let's continue in Hebrews 11. By faith, he, being Abraham, dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. Well, tents came up. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, his wife Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age of childbearing, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which was by the seashore. Let's skip down, because again, this is a lot of reading. Verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham again, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom he was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Down further, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his mother. Continuing on down,
Hi friend, this part of the program is designed specifically for you as an individual. Me, Pastor Ed Boston, talking with you one-on-one here as part of our podcast. The purpose of this segment is to give you the understanding and opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. We want to encourage you to ask for God's will in your life, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus died a harsh and cruel death on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. In earthly ways of thinking, that is difficult to understand. But understand that God's Word tells us that He loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Please know that God loves you, and insert your name right there. He knows you. He knows all about you. He knows your name. He knew you before you were even born. He knew you when He sent Jesus to die on the cross over 2,000 years ago. If you want to give your life to the Lord right now, I encourage you to repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer just now, I want to encourage you to do a few things. I want to encourage you to be active in reading your Bible. I want to encourage you to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you don't understand how to pray, just talk to God like you would talk to your father or your mother or your spouse or whoever you have a conversation with. Just have a conversation with God. I also encourage you to get with somebody in your local area that is a Bible-believing person who would help you with the next steps that need to be taken. And as part of your conversion to a Christian, that would be being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. To become active in a local congregation where you can be a part of a family, a local family, the family of God. The Bible tells us not to forsake assembling together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that can be a major part of what you do as a Christian. If you have questions and don't have anyone to talk with, you can reach me by going to edboston.com, and there is a contact page there. Contact me, and I will do what I can to help you. I will do what I can to help you find a local congregation right there where you live, and I will certainly pray for you. Thank you for being a part of our podcast. We pray that you have taken this step and given your life to the Lord, and we know that you will never have to regret making this decision. God bless, and go out and do the right thing.